I want to get into today's message, which is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I unfortunately had a PowerPoint that I was going to present with all my nice little timelines and everything. Unfortunately, I forgot my computer. So I'm going to be doing this without my PowerPoint, but I think that the Lord might have done that on purpose. He's either punishing me or showing me to do this without a PowerPoint. So I did prepare. I got all my stuff ready. So we're gonna do it without a PowerPoint. A quick recap on Hebrews 11. Well, before we do that, why don't we pray? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we've gathered yet once again, Lord. Here we are before you, before your throne of mercy. We come boldly in the name of Jesus Christ because of your blood, Lord, that you shed for us. And Lord, I ask for your blessings upon this hour, Lord. You know that I have prepared what I prepared, Lord. And if you do not want me to use my PowerPoint, Lord, then so be it. I willfully and gratefully will do so, Lord. I trust in your Holy Spirit to use me, Lord. I pray that you would speak to the souls, that you would cut to the soul and cut to the spirit, to the very depths of our being with your word, Lord. May we grow in understanding through your word. May you bless this hour, Heavenly Father. I pray to you for my wife who is translating, Lord, my helpmeet. What a blessing it is, Lord, to have a wife that you have blessed me with, Lord. And I pray that you would bless her in translation as she translates to the language of truth, Lord. The language of truth, Lord, may it prevail. We pray to this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so let's start with chapter 10. And we're going to go through this pretty briefly, but we're going to try and do it verse by verse. But let me first find out a quick recap. We know that the previous chapters of Hebrews was about Christ being identified as greater than all the other people that the Hebrews came to know. This book is written to Hebrews. They're believers, they're Christians, but they have Hebrew background. So this book definitely talks to us too, because we're believers. But these believers were tied really strong to a tradition of what's called the law. Remember, the law is this term we give to this set of instructions that were given to God's people through Moses. Moses is called the law giver because he's the one that God used to give the law to men. And that's the Hebrew nation, right? The Israelites. And so this law that I'm going to refer to quite a bit in this study is that time frame. Now, of course, I made a spreadsheet during my study, but you guys are not going to be able to see it, but I'll verbally tell you what I calculated. The law, the time from when Moses gave the law to Israelites to when the law was no longer in effect, when Christ came, that time and period is a minority of our time. From creation to now, that law time is not the majority of time. It's about 1,500 years of time, more or less. I'm rounding here a little bit. It's about 1,500 years of time where that law was dominant, okay? However, time itself, as we know it from creation, is about 6,000 years. So it's less than half the time the law was actually in effect. However, in your Bibles, if you study the volume, the context of your Bibles, the majority of your Bible covers the law. From like the books of Moses, from Leviticus, all the way to the last prophet before the New Testament, that time frame or that content of your Bible is the majority of your Bible, right? So that's interesting. That's a very interesting thing because God was around working in people before the law. However, the Israelites were very attached to the law for good reason. The law is good. It's spirit. It's holy. So I want to highlight how this chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews, which is often called the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Faith. This is your faith chapter. It's kind of like the 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is your love chapter. It's focuses on love and what love is. Well, this chapter focuses on what faith is. This is your faith chapter of the Bible. It's one of the highlights, if you ask me, in your whole Bible is this chapter. So it's going to talk about faith. And faith has always been around from Adam all the way to today. before the law, during the law, and after the law. Faith has always been what accounts for a man to be justified. Okay? That's going to be the highlight of what I want to point out today. And I want to reiterate that as we go along. So let me start off with reading first a little bit of chapter 10 to get the ball rolling. Let's start with a verse 20 or verse 36. For you have no need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. That's a promise from God. He is returning. Now the just shall live by faith. That's a key verse. Our brother Zachary highlighted that verse last week because it is a key verse. That verse is from an Old Testament prophet, Habakkuk, and that verse revolutionized the church when it got studied by Martin Luther. That verse is in the Old Testament, says that the just shall live by faith. Okay? That is his key, faith. Now, with that said, let's jump into verse 1 of chapter 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. Man, that verse right there, that verse is deep. We can do a whole hour in that verse easy. Let me try and break it down a little bit. Now, faith is from the root word persuade, persuaded, to believe. Okay, faith and believe are almost synonyms in this aspect. Faith means you believe something. Okay, that's what faith is. You hold it to be true. In your heart, in your mind, you know it to be true. Okay, that's what faith means. Now, faith is the substance. I think another word there is the realization of the things hoped for. Okay? So, the things you hold to be true, the things you have hope in, they're based on what? The evidence of the things not seen. The evidence of the things not seen. Okay, what does that mean? Evidence. Evidence is like the confidence, the proof. If you study that word in the Greek, the confidence, the proof of the things not seen. Here's what I mean. Faith is not blind. Okay? Faith is not blind. The reason you believe something is because you've seen evidence of something. Right? Maybe you don't see the direct thing. Here's a simple example that's often used. If you find a painting with a frame around it, nice, beautiful painting of George Washington, if you will, in the forest, laying down in the ground. If you find that, you don't see the painter. You can't see the painter. You don't know who the painter is, but do you believe that a painter exists? Yes, because you have evidence. The evidence is the painting on the ground. That doesn't just happen by itself. So you can't see the painter, so that's, you don't see him, but you have faith he believes. That's kind of what's happening here, is we can't see God's like essence, but we see his creation. We see the evidence of new hearts in our lives. We see evidence of things we can't see. Now, secular people like to accuse Christians of having this blind, intellectually blind of faith. They have the same faith. In fact, they have more faith. Because they did not see the Big Bang. They did not see evolution. No one's ever seen evolution. They're seeing indirect, what they think is evidence, and they're believing it. They're putting their faith into that. So they have actually required more faith to believe that. That nothing made everything requires more faith than God made everything. Right? Because they believe nothing made everything. So faith is believing something with based on evidence. It is evidence-based. This Bible has so much evidence that there is a supernatural being that wrote this because it tells the future. It's ahead of science. I love it when science catches up to the Bible, right? This book has the fingerprints of God all over it. There's codes all over it. If you study the numbers and the letters, it actually has hidden codes in the numbering sequence of the letters. This thing is supernatural. It's riddled with the evidence of a creator, right? So Don't ever let somebody say that you, as Christians, we have a blind faith. No, it's evidence-based. Even a new heart, when you're born again, you have a new heart, you're born again, and you have evidence-based. In fact, even in the scientific world, this very microphone is made of things I can't see. They're called atoms. They're there. We believe they exist. No one's ever seen an atom, but we know they exist, right? The tiny particles that is made of everything's made of atoms and made of electrons and all those little tiny particles in quantum physics that we can't actually see. We know they exist because through indirect evidence, we've been able to study them. Sometimes people say, I will not believe it unless I see it. Well, that is actually not a very smart thing to say, because there is so much of reality that you cannot see. You can't see gravity. You can't see electromagnetic forces. You can't see electricity. You can't see all these things, but yet you believe them, right? Remember Doubting Thomas? He said, I will not believe that Christ is risen unless I see it with my own eyes. He said that. What happened to him? Christ appeared before him and gave him evidence. Here's my scars. Look at them. And Jesus told them, you believe after seeing, much more those are going to be blessed who don't see and believe. We are here today because we believe Christ rose from the dead. We didn't see him with our eyes, but we have so much evidence that he did. And we believe that he did. Our information comes from a true source that can be validated. Let's move on before I get carried away with evolution and start jumping on them again. So it says here in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Elders meaning like senior, older people in the faith. By faith, they did certain things. They were able to accomplish certain things, and they gained a good testimony because they trusted God. By the way, faith means you believe what God says. God says something. If you believe it, that's faith in God. That's faith in his promises, like we read in the previous verses, his promises from chapter 10. Now, it says here, verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Okay, same concept here. This is a 2,000 years old book, okay? And it's expressing things about quantum physics that no one had any idea about back then. Nobody had a clue about this. This would kind of sound weird that he made everything by things which are not visible. He's using particles and quantum physics to make everything. I've said this before. The powers or the energy or the power that holds these invisible things together, scientists cannot explain what is holding that together. We know who's holding it together. Christ is. Christ is the one that sustains all things. But the nuclear forces that hold atoms together, scientists don't know what does that. They call them elemental forces. Strong nuclear force, weak nuclear force. They don't know what's doing that. But we do know. The one who created everything is doing that. It says here that he who framed the world, the worlds were framed by the word of God. The word of God is Jesus. Jesus is the word. The word became flesh. Jesus Christ made the world, and he sustains it. And he made them so that all things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. Okay, that's impressive. That's some impressive quantum physics right there. Now, back to evolution really quick. You know, Darwin, he theorized the theory of evolution, right? Well, Darwin had no clue how complex a cell was. No clue how complex DNA is, I should say. No clue of any of those things. If he would have known all those things, he would not have come up with such a silly theory. Evolution is quite silly, and why do people hold on to that? Because they have yet to invent another theory to replace it. So they've got to hold on to it. They've got to hold on to it because it's all they got. And they're willing to be blind. Why? Because they love darkness rather than light. That's what blindness is when you love darkness rather than light. So Moving on to verse 4. Now, this is where we get to a timeline, right? We're going to have a long example of all these people in history that had faith. Start off with Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. This is very clear that Abel was a real person. Okay? The context here is clear. Abel was a real person. Who was Abel? He was the first generation from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had children, many children. Abel was one of them. Abel was a real person. You'll hear often people say that Adam and Eve were kind of like figuratively or just some sort of a poem or something. But no, Abel was a real person. Abel was a legitimate real person, and it speaks of him here as such. What Abel did is he offered a sacrifice to God. Now, what's interesting here and worth pointing out is that this is way before the law, obviously, way before sacrifices were ordained by God in the book of Leviticus. Here, though, Abel knew what God wanted. How did he know? I don't know exactly, but obviously Adam lived in the garden for a while. Adam knew God. Adam lived to be 900, I forget the exact age, but he lived to be about 900 years old. So Adam was talking about God. The population at this time was a small population, right? So God was known. They could have known God. God was not, you didn't need the law or need to have the times of Christ. They knew who God was in this time. There was no excuse. God was known. Adam and Eve could have easily told everybody about God and what God likes and doesn't like and what he told us and everything. So, and it's a small population too at this time. So there was people who knew what God wanted. God made himself known to people of this generation. Now, Abel sacrificed accordingly. He knew because he was taught. Cain did not sacrifice accordingly, and that's why his sacrifice was not accepted. And Abel was counted righteous for that reason. Why? Because by faith, he believed God. He believed God. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found. Okay, you know who Enoch was? Enoch was about 6 or 7 generations after Abel. During these times, people lived to be pretty old, close to 900 years old, some older. Enoch only lived 365 years only. At the time, that was a short life. He didn't live very long because he was actually, what they say, he was raptured. He was pulled out of this dimension and taken to the afterlife without tasting death. He did not taste death. Now, why? It's testified of him in the Old Testament, really briefly, that Enoch walked with the Lord. He walked with the Lord. So again, in these times, people knew who the Lord was. People had a relationship with God before the law, before Christ. So faith has always been the way. Faith, believing God, has always been the way to Christ. Always. Believing God has always been what counts you righteous in God's eyes. I read, he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Okay? That he pleased God. How can he please God? He has to know what God wants in order to please God. So again, God's always been available to everybody across time, not just during the law time. Even in the very beginning, there's always been heathens and rebels from the very first generation. Always. Right? So sometimes people like to say, well, what about all the other religions before the Israelite religion? Those are just all rebels and people that are rebelling against God. But God was always available even before the so-called religion of the Hebrews. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. That is a key verse. You got to underline that in your Bible. It says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay? You got to believe, not just believe he exists. Plenty of people believe he exists. Demons believe God exists. But you got to believe that he's a rewarder, and that there is a resurrection, and that he's going to give you what he told you he was going to give you. You have to believe that. That's how you can come to God, to know him, for him to be your Lord. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. Circle the word seek. That is what you got to do to know him. He's got to hear your voice in the mornings. He's got to hear your voice at night. He's got to hear you crying to him. He's got to hear you singing to him. He's got to hear you, dare I say, even complaining to him. He's got to hear you. He knows exactly what you're going to say. He knows. He knows it before you say it. But he loves to hear his children, the ones he loves. He loves to hear them praising him. He loves to hear you guys. Seek him. Talk to him. Read his word. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Verse 7. For by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with greatly fear, with godly fear. Okay, so here's the next guy, Noah. So now we're a few years after this, still before the law. Noah was told, you all know the story, the world became very wicked. Everybody was just wicked, devising evil all day long. The world had become a dark place. God said, I'm going to destroy the world, but Noah, you build an ark. It's highly believed that rain did not exist in those times. The world was being, I guess, had a high, it was mist and humidity was different pre-flood. So rainfall had not existed. They think that's what it means here when it says, warned of things not yet seen. Rain had not been seen, and he was warned, it's going to rain for 40 days. And Noah didn't see that, but he believed God. He believed him. Okay? He believed him, and he built the ark. He didn't build the ark because he was scared of rain. He built the ark because he believed God. He built it. People estimate it took him over 100 years to build. Imagine doing a project for 100 years. Imagine that. I don't know if anybody can imagine that. Building something for 100 years is unimaginable to me. I've been remodeling my house for the last 10, 15 years, and that seems like forever. Imagine 100 years. So he was warned, and he, things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. There is a key verse. Heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. The reason we're heirs to righteousness is because we believe God. We believe today that he died and paid for our sins and rose from the dead. That makes us heirs to righteousness. Because we ourselves are not righteous. Only the righteous are deserving of such things, but we are made righteous by his blood. On to the next person. By faith, Abraham obeyed, and he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. Okay? Our next character here now is Abraham. So now we are, I want to say, right around, I don't know, 1700 BC, more or less, if my calculations are right or my memory serves me well. So here we have Abraham, who's a... quite frankly, he obeyed and he moved. He left. Abraham was well off. He had money. He had a place. He was known. He was good. And he was told, leave. Where to? I don't know, but just go. Could you imagine what his wife told him? Could you imagine? Why do you want to leave? We have everything we need here. You know, I think you're hearing things. Are you sure it was God talking to you? We got a good thing going on here, you know. But she was faithful too. She listened and she went. To tell you the truth, all these people we're talking about, they were imperfect. In fact, Abraham did not listen right away. He didn't. He did not obey immediately. Now, why does the Holy Spirit omit the shortcomings of all these people? In fact, everyone we're going to talk about here had some pretty bad shortcomings and disobeying God sometimes. But you know why the Holy Spirit did not bring those to discussion right now? Because they believed God and did what God wanted. So they were counted righteousness. They were counted as righteous. So all their bad things were not mentioned. That's kind of how it works for us when we believe God and we're saved. We show up to heaven. We got a lot of bad things to discuss. But we're going to be covered in the blood of Christ. And all those bad things will not be brought to light as far as judgment goes. We will not be judged for those things. We will be counted righteous. So this gives us hope. We fall. We fall short. We have things that we don't do perfect either. And all these people did too. But notice how the Holy Spirit is pointing out their faithfulness. Their faithfulness. Make note of that. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. He was rich. He never built a house. He was always in tents. That says a lot. This guy was all in. He didn't settle somewhere. He's like, God, where am I going next? God, where am I going next? And then Abraham, by the way, he was a liar too. He said some lies that he got him into trouble. We don't have time to review those, but the point is, he wasn't perfect. But he believed God. It goes on to say, the heirs with him of the same promise. He was promised the promised land, right? He was promised a seed that would multiply like the sand of the ocean. For he waited for the city. This city will come up later, which has a foundations. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was always intense because he knew. Abraham believed in the resurrection. Abraham believed in the afterlife. He believed this. This is all before the law. Remember that. So there was access to God. There was revelation from God in these times. It's not like the God just started working with the Israelites from that point on. No, God was working with people during that time. So it says here, by faith, which is Abraham's wife, herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age. Remember, she was a very old lady when she gave birth to Isaac. Ishmael too, by the way. So she actually laughed when she first heard this news. She actually laughed. But again, the Holy Spirit omits this because she eventually believed in the power of God that he can make it to where she can get pregnant. And she did. She had faith. The Holy Spirit accounts her as faithful, being caused because she judged him faithful who had promised. She counted God faithful. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, and by dead, like dead in his trespasses, was born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So Sarah and Abraham had faith. Because of their faith, a whole nation was born from them. They were born. We were all blessed because of them. Now, the next chapter, the next verse is very key as well. Make note of this. These are all dead in faith. By dead, he means what it means is they passed away. They passed away, not dead as spiritually. They passed away physically while they had faith. They were faithful and then they died, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off, which were assured of them. So they didn't see the promise. They weren't able to see it. But they believed God. They believed he was going to give to them what he promised. Right? Again, faith. They had evidence. God's word. They didn't see it, but they believed it through God's word. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So they knew that they belonged in heaven, not in earth. They knew that they belonged with God, not on earth. They knew this before the Old Testament was written. They knew this. Before Moses ever wrote the Old Testament, the first books, they already knew this. So there was knowledge of God back then. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they have called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Now, they know that they're citizens of heaven. They knew that. And they also knew they could have easily returned back to where they came from. They could have. But they didn't. Because of their faith, they moved forward. They moved forward. When you have faith and you live by faith, you're moving in the forward direction. As soon as you start living by your flesh, you start moving backwards. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. There's that city again that I mentioned earlier. That city is in heaven. That city is where we belong. That city is where we're going to be one day. Now, if you truly believe that, if you truly, truly believe that you will go to heaven after you die, should there be a fear of evil? I'm sorry, a fear of death. Should there be a fear of death? If you truly, truly, truly believe that you're going to go to heaven when you die, then what's the problem with death? What's the problem with it? Do you truly believe that heaven is much more better than this place? If you truly, truly believe that, why is death a problem? To live is Christ, to die is gain. Philippians 2:1, one of my recent favorite verses. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That means while you're living, it's for Christ. There's going to be a day, there will be a day when something gets us. Every day we're victorious. Every day we're beating the odds of death. We don't die because of God's hand. But there will come a day. There will come a day when something's going to get us. That God will say, okay, that's enough. Time for you to come with me. Whether it's a disease, a car accident, whatever it is, something's going to get us one day. What's the problem? Is there a problem with that? If you truly believe you're going to go to heaven, there should be no problem. Faith. If you believe, if you have the faith that you're a citizen of heaven, then Psalm 23 makes a lot of sense. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's a faithful man saying those words in Psalm 23. Right? So that's what it's saying here. They knew they were citizens of a different place. So they walked in faith. They believed God. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. You all know the story, right? Abraham was told by God to sacrifice his son, the son that was going to be the son that was going to be his descendants. Any logical person would have said, wait a minute, how can I kill my son and then from him have descendants? That doesn't make sense. We'll see why Abraham did it. Because in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Abraham believed in the resurrection. Abraham believed in God's power. Abraham knew that God was going to somehow make it work. He might not have known fully. Maybe he did. I don't know. Either way, he believed and trusted in God. He was about to do it too. And by the way, Isaac, it's estimated, was a full-grown man by then. He wasn't going to be just let himself be sacrificed. Isaac himself laid down his life too. They believed God. They believed him. That story, by the way, is a very good study. We can't get into it today, but definitely on your own time, read the story of Abraham when he was about to sacrifice Isaac. Many people use that as some sort of a bad character of God, but no, God knows exactly what he's doing and how he's doing it. And it says, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. So figuratively, Abraham was dead. We were all dead, figuratively, until we got received into our new creation by being saved by God, by being born again, by believing God. On to the next person, by verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You all know the story of Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. That's kind of a really interesting story about how Jacob actually stole his blessing from his brother, but Isaac knew that, and even he didn't reverse his blessing. Isaac had blessed the wrong child through deception, but God, that was God's plan. Now, God's plan works no matter what. Even with our rebellion in place, God's plan works no matter what, and Isaac knew that was God's plan, so he stuck with the plan, and he was faithful. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, learning on the top of his staff. We'll continue down the list here for the sake of time. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Joseph knew that God was going to free his people out of Egypt. So he asked ahead of time, take my bones with you and bury them over there. He believed God. He knew this. On to Moses, verse 23. So now we get to the law. Now we're getting to the law part of time. All of these people before were before the law. Okay? They were before the law, and they were still people of faith. Now we get to Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Here, the faith is being attributed to Moses' parents. So even Moses' parents knew and believed God. They had faith in God. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses knew of God, made a conscious choice to go back with his people because he was a rich, powerful man, had a life. He made a decide. He decided, I'm leaving that because I have faith in the God of my people, the true God, and I'm going to go. Now, again, he messed up. He did some things that weren't perfect, but he had faith. He made that leap. You know what faith is? Faith is when you're standing at the edge of a pool and you're in the looking at the water and you're thinking about jumping in, but you don't. But once you jump and you're 2 feet in the air, you're committed. There's no going back. You're going to get wet. That's faith. That's jumping. That's what Moses did. He's all, I don't know everything, but I'm jumping in. I believe you, God. I'm going to go do this. Let's go. Did he stumble? Yes, he stumbled. But he had faith. He believed God. That's what's being accounted to him right now. Verse 27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He believed in the invisible God that you can't see with your eyes, but there's lots of evidence of him. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should destroy them. You all know the story of the angel of death. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith, the Israelites walked on dry land with walls of water on their sides. By faith. It's a true story. It happened. I assure you it happened. Now, let's move on to the law, right? The law, you all know who was the came after Moses, right? It was Joshua. So Joshua was the one that took over as leader after Moses. And it says here, by faith, the walls of Jericho, this is the battle that Joshua led, fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. 7 days they walked around and the walls fell down. It was by faith. They believed. They believed God. And then there was a woman inside that town, in that town of Jericho. And it says here, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Now, inside Jericho, there was this woman. She was a prostitute, at least according to most people understanding of the scriptures. She believed. She heard of God. You think she was the only one that heard of God? There was plenty of people in that city that heard of God. Plenty of them. But she's the one that believed. She's the one that by faith helped the Israelites. And she was counted as righteous. In fact, she's in Jesus' genealogy. She's one of the great grandmas of Jesus. Speaking of which, on Mother's Day, here we have a woman on the faith, right? Her and Sarah. Verse 32. And what more shall I say? Now, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon. You all remember Gideon and Barak and Samson. These are all judges. These are all pre-kings era. This is after Moses, before the kings. These are judges. And Jephthah also of David. Now we're in the king era. And the prophets of David and Samuel and the prophets. These are all people of faith. David, remember we talked about David, Psalm 23, he's a man of faith. David had many flaws, we all know that. But they all believed God. They all believed God, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. All these people were so faithful. They had all these victories, all these amazing stories, all these amazing victories that they had in faith. Remember what Christ would tell people when he would heal them? Your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Because they believed God, they had all these amazing victories. Now, also, part of the package is there is persecution. The world hates those who believe God. Look what happens. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain the better resurrection. Still, so remember all the apostles, the 12 apostles? They were all killed, except for John. They tried to kill John. Why didn't they just renounce Christ? Why didn't they just say, no, Bacchus, never mind. I don't believe in Christ. No, they believed in him because they knew he was the truth and that there is a heaven and there is a reward, and they were tortured and killed. Because they know and they believe that the tribulations of this world cannot be compared to the glories to be revealed. Right? They know that to be true. They lived that way. Let me tell you something too. The Holy Spirit works the strongest during persecution. The Holy Spirit works the weakest during comfort. If you're comforted, if you got it easy, you're not doing much, everything's nice and good, the Holy Spirit is not working. But if you're facing down the barrel of a gun because you're working for the Lord, oh, I assure you, the Holy Spirit is at full power. And you will be given peace, you will be given the words, you will be given what you need to be given at that moment, because the Holy Spirit will see you through. The Holy Spirit is the most active and strongest when you need him the most. Oftentimes we fear this torturing, we fear these persecutions, because we're thinking, oh man, I don't want to be uncomfortable, I don't want to feel that pain. Well, it's only a passing. This life is but a vapor, as Christ said. This life is but a vapor. That short moment of torturing or whatever it may be, the Holy Spirit will see you through. Rest assured, if you believe, it will see you through. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. I think that's Isaiah. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. That's part of the deal. We will have many victories in life. We will have them. We will have countless victories in life. We will also have times where we will, the world will get the better of us physically, but not spiritually. But not spiritually. Do not fear him who can destroy the flesh but cannot destroy the soul. Jesus Christ says in Matthew 10:28. Do not fear him that can destroy the body but cannot destroy the soul. That's the truth. That is the truth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. They're going to be raised first. When Christ comes back, all these saints from before will not be apart from us. They will be raised first in Christ. And then those who are alive will rise up with Christ. We're all the same family. All the members of Christ. All members of God's family. From before the law, during the law, and after the law. All of us, by faith, it has always been by faith. Faith in God, believing God. In the Old Testament, they believed in the Messiah, that he would come. In the New Testament, we had the Messiah already come, and we believed that he came. That's what we believe. That's what we believe, that he came and died for our sins and rose from the dead. That took a little longer than I thought. We went pretty fast, though. So I hope that was understandable. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time you've given us, for your word, for your truth. I pray, Lord, that my brothers and sisters in Christ would grow in faith after today, Lord, and every day moving forward. May we all grow in faith, Lord, and understanding, and have peace, Lord. May we have that peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord, that peace that we can have in our trials and persecutions, that peace that we can have, Lord, when we are under your will, under your good and perfect will. We pray that we would grow in you, Heavenly Father. We pray that you would bless everybody on this day and Mother's Day. And we pray to you these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.